You have your Bible, Hebrews 11. I'm a busy guy this morning, aren't I? Hebrews 11, 1. I want to turn there, and you should know this passage, but I want to take just a few minutes and minister to you on the subject of faith. That's going to be our vision for 2022. One word, all right? What's your mission? Everybody always wants to know, what's your mission statement? What's your vision? Well, what's the difference in those two, right? Why don't we just say this year it will be faith, right? Faith. Amen. Simply faith. Because by faith, I want to see God do some miraculous things in 2022. I'd like to see this building paid off. I'd love to see beautiful stained glass windows. But most of all, I would love to see people transformed by the power of an awesome God. Amen? Amen. I want to baptize more people in 22 than we baptized since 17. Altogether. Amen. How many believe it can happen? Shout yes. Yes. I believe it. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance. Now a better word there is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What? Really, what is faith? Right? You ever ask yourself that question? Of course, the scripture gives us the definition right here. But what is it really? Faith is simply trusting in God's faithfulness. Faith is His faithfulness, not our ability to have faith. Many people like to put faith in their faith. They like to put faith in their ability to produce faith. We call this hyper faith, you know, that if you have enough faith, you'll never see trouble, you'll never see heartache. You'll be blessed. Your family will be blessed. You'll never see a bad, hard, dark day. But that's just not the reality of it. Fact, if the scripture teaches us anything, those who live by faith will face many fiery trials throughout their walk with God. That's just the reality of it. But that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Some people mistakenly put faith in faith. Faith should be placed in God alone. And we exercise and we exhibit faith every single day. We do. When you get into your automobile and you drive on the road, you are placing faith in people driving their vehicle. But you do it naturally. When you get on an airplane, you fly on an airplane with a pilot whom you've never met, probably. Don't know his alcohol content level. Don't know where he's been before he got on the airplane. You put your faith in that guy. That's what you do. You put your faith and you exhibit your faith every single day. Many of you will go to a restaurant when you leave here and you will put faith in the cook who prepares your food, having never met him, have no idea what he did last night or this morning or a few minutes ago. But you trust him to cook your food. You do it every day. You put faith in something every single day, and you do it naturally. But when it comes to placing faith in God, we tend to struggle with that. You tend to struggle with that. I tend to struggle with that. And why is that? Well, we're fighting this thing called the flesh, aren't we? But it should be second nature to put faith in God as a believer, as a person who says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It should be second nature to trust Him with all these things that are happening in our lives. Hebrews 11, well, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Listen very carefully, all right? Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. What's your title deed? Here it is right here. You got it in your hand. Come on, amen. It's the title deed of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. God has given you guarantees. He did not guarantee that you would never face a problem. He did not guarantee that you would never have a bad day or face depression or anxiety or struggles in your life, because you will. He did not guarantee that you would walk through life and without anything remotely bad happening to you. But what He did promise was that through it all, He would give you the strength to bear it, to walk through it, and you shall overcome. Amen. That's what he promised you. It's the evidence of things not seen. Here's what the Amplified says, the conviction of their reality. I mentioned to you paying off this building. That's a reality to me. Before it even happens, it's a reality. If you're believing God to heal your body, you must believe that it is a reality before it actually happens. That's why Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The only way you can please a holy God is by placing faith in holy God. And if you're here today and you've never placed proper faith, and you've never received a life transformation, you can today. By faith in the Son of God. Comprehending what the facts that cannot be experienced by the physical senses. That's the Amplified. So we physically don't see it as a reality yet. Our family isn't saved. You're still sick in your body. You still have those same thoughts. You still have the same struggles. And where the enemy wants to trick you is to believing that it will always be that way. But the truth of the title deed of God's word is that it will not always be that way. And faith declares that we can see it before it even happens. But without that, you can't please God. And if you're going to pray, you better pray in faith. I don't know about you, but just some of the little things that he does for me. I get emotional when I think about it. It's nothing extravagant or big to you. It wouldn't mean anything. But to me, it's a big deal. And he hears me when I pray. And he answers my prayer according to faith. Just the little things. Amen. Three things I want to share with you quickly. Number one, faith sees. Everybody say that. Faith sees. What does it see? Faith sees the promises of God being fulfilled. That's what it sees. A good example of the eye of faith would be Abraham. God called Abraham in Genesis out of the Ur of the Chaldees, modern day Iraq, and told him to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. The land of Canaan. He had no idea where he was going. He'd never seen it on a map. He never looked up Google Maps and said, wow, Canaan looks like a nice place to live. He had no idea. And God tells him to leave his family, leave his country, take his wife with him and go. And he was 75 years old when God called him. God made a promise to him that he would have a son. 75 years old. About 25 years goes by. He hasn't had a son. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds difficult in our day, doesn't it? For someone 75 to 90 years old, to 100 years old, to have a child. For his wife, who's the same age, to conceive a child. But this is what God promised him. And he saw it with the eyes of faith. Now, this is what Romans 4 says about Abraham, 4:19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he was considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. It looked impossible. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that what God was able to do, what he promised. Faith sees the promises of God being fulfilled. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. Understand something. Now, did Abraham ever waver in his faith? Well, Romans 4 says he didn't, but I read where he lied twice about who his wife was to protect himself. He tried to get ahead of God and make the promise come to pass by taking Hagar into his tent and bearing a son by the name of Ishmael, which is the Iraqi people of today, or the Arab world of today, rather. Think about that. But the Bible says he never wavered in faith. Just because you mess up doesn't necessarily mean you're wavering in faith. Abraham kept his faith. Jesus, when he looked at Peter, he said to Peter, I'm praying not... Listen, he says, I'm not praying for this, that, or the other. I'm praying that your faith failed not. Because he knew Peter would stumble. He knew Peter would deny him three times. But he was praying that his faith would not fail. And then he says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And I pray he finds faith in Gary Atkins. I pray that he finds faith in your life. Come on, amen. Faith sees the reality of it. Even though your five senses and logic says it's impossible, it can't happen, couldn't happen, didn't happen, faith says it did happen because you see with the eye of faith. Hebrews 11 says this about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. How many know faith and obedience live together? You can't have one without the other. Come on, amen. Just like unbelief and disobedience live together, faith and obedience live together. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. He looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Listen to this. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. But Genesis 18 says that she laughed at God. When she said, you'll have a son, she laughed at him. And God said, is there anything too hard for God? And at 100 years old, she gave birth to Isaac, the promised seed. God gave them a promise. Did she mess up? Yes. Did she make a mistake? Oh, yeah, just like you and I do. But here's what Hebrews said. She judged him faithful. When it's all said and done, keep your faith and do not quit. See with the eye of faith. Faith sees. You believe that? Shout amen. God will fulfill his promise. Secondly, quickly, faith speaks. So number one, faith what? Sees. And secondly, faith speaks. Listen to this. What does faith say? Well, I read about in 2 Kings chapter 4, a Shunammite woman, who she and her husband built a little loft for Elisha, the man of God. So when he would come to town, he had somewhere to stay. He had somewhere to sleep. He had somewhere to eat. They'd put the evangelist up for the week, right? And God, through that, blessed her with a son, whom she so desired. Well, one day they were working out in the field, and he said, my head hurts, in 2 Kings 4, and he dies. He dies. And the Shunammite woman, now she could have been distraught, threw up her hands. God isn't real. Why did you do this? And cursed God. But here's what she said. You ready for it? Maybe they have it. 2 Kings 4:23. Her husband said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Talking about Elisha, she was going after the man of God. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. You know what that's translated literally? Everything's going to be okay. Now, I know that sounds cliche and that sounds, you know, coffee mug quotations. But I want to tell you, faith speaks and it says this, everything will be okay. When things do not work out the way you think they should, or how many can say everything's worked out in my life exactly the way I thought it would? Raise your hand. Wow, surprisingly, nobody, right? And it never will. He's always going to throw you some curveballs, but by faith you can be ready to swing, right? Come on, amen. And declare, because faith speaks, everything will be okay. What about my children? Everything will be okay. If your faith is anchored in Christ, what about my health? Everything will be okay. What about my marriage? Everything will be okay. If your faith is anchored in Christ, are you hearing what I'm saying? What about our country? Everything will be okay. What about the world? Everything will be okay. It is well. That's what faith speaks. Why don't you just say that? Everything will be okay. What about the sin in my life? Confess your sin, for he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I knelt here before service and I read Psalm 51 probably 10 times, and I prayed it. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me clean. Create a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Rejoice and restore the joy of my salvation. Glory to God. If your faith is anchored in that, the title deed, everything is going to be okay. I declare that to you. I declare it to you. Thirdly, and lastly, faith, tell me, sees. Faith speaks, and thirdly, faith overcomes. Faith overcomes. 1 John 5:1, I want to read it to you from the Amplified. Just listen as I close. Everyone who believes with a deep and abiding trust in the fact. That means not just saying you believe. The devil believes, and he trembles, the Bible says. So you can say, well, I believe in Jesus, but if your life doesn't line up that you believe in Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? True faith and belief in Christ will produce fruit in your life. Not perfection, but somebody will be able to say, that person's been touched by the hand of God. That person's been plucked from the fire and given a new heart. A deep abiding faith that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, is born of God. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. That is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the child born of him. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. Did you hear what I just read to you? That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. The continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. That's what overcomes the world. One day your money will mean nothing. One day your affiliations will mean nothing. One day who you know will mean nothing. Nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ezekiel says you'll be able to throw your money in the street, it'll be worthless. Your status, who you are, who you know, nothing. Who your parents are, who your family is, will mean nothing. But persistent faith in the Son of God. Hallelujah! Who is the one who is victorious and overcomes the world? It is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And the testimony is this: God has given us eternal life. Now listen to the Amplified. Listen, please. Listen to this. We already possess it. Let me tell you something on the authority of God's word. When he saves you miraculously and transforms your life, you are saved. I get so tired of hearing this message of hardship and this message of self-righteousness and self-sanctification, and that if you do commit an act of sin, if you do this, you lose your covenant with God. Folks, you could not save yourself. You cannot keep yourself saved. Do you hear what I'm telling you? When he saves you, you are born from above. And this passage tells us you already possess it. And this life is in his Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness and eternal companionship with him. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, that's the key. Amen. Faith sees the Son of God. Faith speaks confession as Christ is Savior. And faith overcomes the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. That is powerful. You have the Son, the baby born in a manger. No, you have the one sitting at the right hand of the Father, ascended in power and glory, when you say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I implore you today, watching, by faith, accept Jesus Christ today. Make a confession of faith. Has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, faith sees the promises of God being fulfilled. Faith speaks the promises of God. When it looks impossible, faith overcomes. When it is all said and done, sin may have gripped your life, your marriage may be struggling, parenting may be weighing on you. Come on, amen. Amen. Finances are in trouble. You know, when my kids were little, I said, man, this will get easier when they get older. Boy, was I in for a rude awakening. I've never prayed so much in my life. Whew. Y'all got to pray for me. They're not here, so I can talk about them, right? One going on 14, one 12, pray for me. All right. Finances may be in trouble. Your health may be deteriorating. Maybe the enemy has attacked your family. But remember with assurance today that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Do you know what amen means? So be it. That's one of the first things I learned in Bible college. So be it. In other words, when you say amen, you're saying, I believe it. And it is a reality. I may not see it. I may not have it in my hand. But I know it is a reality by faith. And the title of the message, Faith Works. Does it not? Faith sees. Faith speaks. Faith overcomes. Do you believe it today? Lord, I pray today that you would speak to every heart in the name of Christ our Lord, and that you would minister to the hearts of your people today. Let this word be a seed that has been planted. Let it produce everlasting life today in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody stand with me, would you? If you're joining us live, I encourage you. This Christmas season, place faith in the Son of God and say yes to Jesus Christ. Say yes to Him.